It's always a wonderful privilege to come and worship our great and holy God. I'm always appreciative of the opportunity to do so, to sing these songs of praise and thanksgiving that we have done so this morning. I appreciate those songs that Jerry has put together for this our worship today to celebrate, remember the death of Christ. Again, it's something that we need to think about on a regular basis. Thanksgiving needs to be a part of our lives. And so I'm thankful for my wife, my children, always thankful to have our kids home for the holidays, and JD with us as well, and my mom, and much to be thankful for. We've just come through the Thanksgiving holiday, and it is a wonderful time, a busy time, obviously, but it is a time to reflect, especially on how thankful we should be for what God has done for each one of us. And I want to suggest to you this morning, I'm going to be talking about pain and how we can overcome that. But I want to remind each of us that pain, affliction, heartache, suffering, loneliness are the common lot of humanity. In fact, they are the common lot even of Christians, those who are servants of God. Whether it's physical affliction or pain or emotional pain, these things can be debilitating. And again, I'm using a broad painting with a broad brush to talk about all the ways that we suffer with anguish, maybe physical pain, could be trials, could be burdens, difficulties that we all face. And I want us to understand that this is common. So if you're going through pain and anguish, suffering, affliction, I don't care what it may be, again, physically or emotionally, I want you to pay attention to what God's message is for us as it relates to overcoming that. And so this morning I'm going to talk about 10 truths to remember in the midst of sorrow and pain or loneliness. And you can put in there whatever you want to. But these are things that we need to think about, especially as we deal with the heartaches of life. And it's kind of a surprising answer to our struggles is really found in thankfulness, even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of aging and maybe some debilitating diseases coming upon you, that thankfulness gives you a perspective on your suffering. And so, and again, the point I make is that this is applicable for each one of us. And one of the keys, I believe, to a faith-filled life and a life filled with hope and optimism is believing and impressing in our hearts and minds God's powerful promises. He has given us promises that are beyond our comprehension. And he did that for a reason. So we'll think about them and act upon them and put our trust in him. He is greater than our trials, greater than our fears, greater than our pain, greater than our failures. He is God and there is no other. And so I want to suggest this morning that these are some things that we can actually, as I'm going to talk about this morning, these are some things that we can thank God for, even while you're hurting, even while you're broken, even while you're in anguish or struggling with loneliness. I don't care what it is. It's not easy, and I'm not wanting to minimize that in any way. It's not difficult. It is difficult to stay focused on God and be grateful even in the midst of the trials. But I want us to think about that this morning before we actually get into the 10 points of the lesson, the 10 truths to remember. I want to focus for just a couple of minutes on the idea of thankfulness. And this is an article written by Mark Eltrog, and this is really an article from which this gave rise to this sermon. I saw this on the internet, a Christian writer, denominational writer. This is what he said. He said, one of the most important things we must do when we suffer is to give thanks. Again, it's not easy to do that. And I thought, wow, that really got my attention. That one of the most important things that we need to do in the midst of pain and difficulty is give thanks for all the ways that God has blessed us. And again, it's a very compelling thought. Here's just a few verses that address the issue of thanksgiving. In Ephesians chapter 5, and I've got, I think, all these verses on the screen this morning. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul talks about in the context of worshiping God, as we've done this morning, to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. Do you see that? Always giving thanks What else does it say in that verse? For all things. Amen. Do you give thanks for all things? In every trial, every difficulty? And where does Paul write most of these epistles from? Prison, right? But his thought isn't in prison, his thought's in heaven. So we give thanks always for all things. This is not just some aberration, some strange command. The ESV puts it this way in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Verse 17 is great advice. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing and then give thanks in all circumstances. Paul was under a lot of different circumstances in his life. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because God is greater than your circumstances. He is powerful. He is loving. He is God and we are not Him. So that's why the instructions, give thanks for in all circumstances. And there's lots of reasons for that. I like this, the New American Standard in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Paul said, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. The ESV says abounding in thanksgiving. This is not an oversight. God is saying over and over again, give thanks in every circumstance. So we can trust God in the midst of our trials and difficulties. Here's another quotation from this author. He said this, giving thanks helps us focus on God in our affliction, steers us away from complaining, strengthens our faith, and brings glory to Jesus. I think that's right. So when we give thanks, we take the focus off of ourselves. And again, this is the common struggle that we as human beings can wrestle with. So let's look quickly at these 10 truths to remember in the midst of the pain and suffering. So the first point I want us to know is that God is sovereign and knows fully the depth of your pain. And you look at some, as taught maybe many scriptures in our class this morning, I think confirmed that as well. But look at this verse, Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. It says, remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. So even when Israel's in captivity, even when Judah is suffering because of their sins in captivity, God says, I know who you are. I made you in my own image and likeness. I still care about you. I just want you to trust me and do my will. So God is sovereign, and He knows fully the depth of the pain that we experience. And I changed the point here. That the writer said this. He said that God is sovereign and in complete control of the intensity and the duration of your affliction. And I just wasn't sure if I fully agreed with that or not. And maybe it is true. He's saying that God is sovereign in complete control of the intensity and the duration of your affliction. And again, I just wasn't completely sure. I just wanted to share that thought with you. But we make the point here as we talk about pain, affliction, sorrow, heartache, whatever it may be, God is God. He is sovereign. He is the ruler of heaven and earth. He has control of all of His creation. He knows about the pain that we experience. And so I think all of these truths, when taken together, give us a sense of peace and comfort, knowing that God is God and He is going to meet all of our needs. Secondly, I want to suggest to us this morning that God's love, His faithfulness, and His mercies never end. This is compelling. When you think about this, God's love, His faithfulness, His mercy does not end for His children. He's going to help us in our darkest hour. Look at Lamentations in chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. And Jeremiah is lamenting. We were talking about that this morning in our class that Jimmy taught. Jeremiah is lamenting the condition of Judah and the pain that they're going through. And this is the message that God gives His people. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The ESV puts it this way, and we sing a song by this title, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I don't say this lightly, and I don't want to gloss over this. When we talk about the pain, heartache, again, whatever, if it's physical or emotional, God's love, His faithfulness, His mercy does not end. Hold on to the promises of God. That's why I say what we have to do is remind ourselves of these breathtaking promises that God gives to each one of us. Number three, as we continue to look at the 10 truths to remember in the midst of our suffering, we need to remind ourselves that Jesus has promised to never leave us or forsake us. Notice in Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 5 and 6 over here. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the writer says, keep your life free from the love of money. I think this is the ESV. And be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So again, here's a powerful promise. God is promising, Jesus is promising to us, his children, that he will never leave us or forsake us. Our challenge, of course, is to be faithful to him. What a promise. He will never leave us or forsake us in your darkest hour. And again, these are truths that we know, but in too many cases, we haven't internalized them. I haven't like I should. Maybe most of us have not done that like we should. So again, these are really 10 truths that we can focus on that will help us during times of difficulty, heartache, sorrow, rejection, pain, affliction, loneliness, no matter what it may be. Remember this promise. Jesus has promised he's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. And so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. Is that true or not? Is the Lord your helper? Amen. Is he? I trust that he is. The Lord is my helper. I might think, well, the Lord is Curtis's helper. He's a strong Christian. The Lord is, you know, Brother Swofford's helper. No, the Lord is our helper. He is my helper. He is your helper. Is he not? Yes. These are promises that God has given to us. And we have to believe them. They're very compelling. And so the result is, he said, I will not fear. I will not be afraid. So many times in pain and loneliness and heartache, we don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but God knows. He knows the beginning from the end. And so look at these promises that he has given to us. Number four, again, as we look at these this morning, we've got 10 points that we want to talk about quickly. Again, a fourth point that we need to think about in times of difficulty, God promises to be with you in your affliction. This is compelling. This is real. This is powerful. God promises to be with you in your affliction. It's one thing if you're suffering and anguish and agony and loneliness and you're a million miles from God, he can't even see you. That'd be difficult. But he says, I'm going to be with you in your affliction. Look at what Isaiah chapter 43 says. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Even in the most difficult time that God's people were facing, he's saying, I am going to be with you in your affliction. Look at this passage with me in Isaiah chapter 43. This is one I want us to read the greater context of this. But if you can, go ahead and look at Isaiah chapter 43 in your Bibles or your iPad or whatever you're using. Isaiah chapter 43, and again, this is a compelling text that gives us God's assurance that he loves us, he has redeemed us, he wants the best for us. Isaiah chapter 43, and look at the first seven verses here. But it says, but now thus says the Lord your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. So God is predicting a restoration, return from captivity. And this brief passage just overflowing with all these statements of God's love and concern and his support that he will give to his people. So again, we need to recognize that point and think about this. You can hear it. The challenge is to believe it, practice it. God promises to be with us in our affliction. Number five, another point, another truth that we can anchor our hearts and minds on, our souls on, is to understand that God hears your prayer and listens to your cry for help. Sometimes you pray, we wonder, does the Lord really hear me? Well, the answer is yes, he does. He may not answer it the way you want it, and he may not answer in your timing, but he'll answer in his timing. He is God. And so God hears your prayer. He listens to your cry for help. Look at Psalm chapter 34 and verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. Wow. So the eyes of the Lord are toward his people, toward his righteous. And when you pray, he bends his ear to listen to you. Amen. Wow. Wow. I couldn't get an audience with a king or a prominent ruler in this world, but the God of heaven will bend his ear and listen to my heartache, to my cry, to my request. And Psalm chapter 34 and verse 17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. And again, we may not understand God's timing, but ultimately we want to be with him forever in heaven. And in the meantime, we trust him through the difficulties that we might face, knowing that he is going to meet our needs. And one of the great blessings and promises that God has given us is that he wants us to pray. And when you pray, and sometimes when you pray or I pray and the tears roll down your cheeks, God sees those tears. He hears the cry for relief. The question is, do we really believe it? Well, God hears your prayer and listens to your cry for help. Number six, again, the 10 truths we're talking about this morning that we can give thanks for even in the midst of our trials and difficulties. God may be using your affliction to mold you into the image of Christ. I don't know about you, and I still need lots of help being molded into the image of Christ and trying to get over my earthly, human, fleshly nature. And it's not an easy process, but God molds us and shapes us and sometimes has to saw off the rough edges because we're too earthly minded sometimes. We're thinking about ourselves. Look at this passage in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Paul says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he's talking about those who would become born again Christians, like we are, Bible believing, non-denominational, born again Christians. He said, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be what? To be conformed to the image of his son. My goal is to be more like Jesus Christ. And to be honest with you, I have a ways to go. And we all do. Amen. We all do. But God might be using trial, heartache, sickness, so you quit thinking about yourself and look to him. That's what he wants us to do. So that we can be changed into having a more of a Christ-like character. This is not easy. And I don't do well with this. Most of us do not. But these are tremendous promises, and here's the perspective. Think about that. So when you're in the midst of your difficulty that you're facing, I'm speaking to everyone this morning, when you're in the midst of that trial, that heartache, you don't think you can take another step, ask God, what are you trying to teach me, O Lord? What are you trying to change in my heart? so that I can trust myself less and trust you more? Maybe so. I think that's what he might be doing to us. So in the midst of what you may think is unthinkable pain, God might be trying to say, look at me. I know what you're going through. And I want you to become more like my son Jesus. Look at about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5, the writer says about Jesus, that although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. So Jesus, in becoming the perfect sacrifice for our sins, sinless he was. But he, it says, had to undergo suffering, and in that process he learned obedience. And so if the Son of God benefited from suffering, don't you think you and I will and need to? I think that's true. So, again, it's a reminder that God may be using your affliction, your pain, to mold you into becoming more like Jesus Christ. Now look at number 7. Again, these are powerful truths that can transform our lives even in the midst of suffering. It's really the challenge is learning to give thanks for these truths that God has revealed to each one of us. Your pain is momentary and light compared with the eternal reward it's producing. Notice in, excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Now let me ask you a question, and I'll go ahead and put this other translation up too, the New American Standard Version. It says, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So the truth is, and I don't say this lightly, your pain is just for a moment. It is fleeting. Let me ask you a question. You know what Paul the Apostle went through in his life? How many times he was beaten, taken up for dead? I mean, this guy, I said this probably years ago, if Paul would take his shirt off his back and you looked at his back, it would be the most horrific sight you can imagine. Scar tissue, just beaten to death. I mean, it's hard to imagine. Do you think Paul's suffering was light? Do you think Paul's suffering was light? No, we think it was horrific. How did he view his suffering? He said this was light. He said it was light. I haven't been through what the Apostle Paul's been through. And sometimes I think the pain or the anger, whatever it may be, is just almost unbearable. But Paul said that his pain was light in comparison with the eternal glory awaiting him. So all of our pain, all of our heartache, all of our loneliness is small in comparison with the staggering glory and praise and comfort awaiting us in heaven. And so this was Paul's perspective, and we need to have the same perspective as well. So again, remind yourself, write this down in your journal like I do. My pain is momentary. It is small, and it's light compared with the eternal reward it's producing. Number 8, as we continue to look at 10 truths that we can give thanks for, even in the midst of our pain and suffering, understand that Jesus is our high priest who constantly intercedes for us. Wow, what a promise. Again, look at the scripture in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. It says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. The only problem with that is I sometimes don't believe it, or it's hard for me to believe that. But what he's saying there, that Jesus is our high priest, and he's able to sympathize with our weaknesses. He has been in every respect tempted and tried and face pain and loneliness and heartache just like me and you. And that's why we have Jesus. So no matter what your pain is, no matter what the affliction is or the burden is, you haven't gone through something that Jesus hasn't already gone through. And so he can sympathize with us in that trial that we may face. And so in verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 7, he says, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Wow. What a promise. What a promise. So God and Jesus Christ is able to save us to the uttermost. There's no pain, no problem, no difficulty so great that Jesus can't reach us. Why? Because he wasn't a high priest that lived 70 years like some of the Aaronic priests did or the Levitical priests. He lives always and he's constantly interceding for us. What a great blessing. What a tremendous blessing. So Jesus is our high priest who constantly intercedes for us. Number 9 this morning, as we focus on these 10 truths that can help us in our times of difficulty, God is close to you in your pain and affliction. These are not new truths or scriptures. We've looked at these before, no doubt. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. What does it say? It says that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel like you're that brokenhearted person? Your heart is broken? Do you ever feel like you've been crushed? Well, no doubt, maybe all of us at some times have, or if you haven't yet, you will at some point if you live long enough. What does it say? It says that the Lord, the awesome God of heaven and earth, is near the person who is on his or her face, broken, just falling apart. That is the God whom we serve. So again, one of the challenges for us is remembering the nearness of God. I still remember this plaque I picked up when I was in the Philippines many, many, many years ago. It says, when the Lord seems far away, guess who moved? Not the Lord. Amen. We move. Lord, you can't see me. You don't know my pain. You don't know what I'm going through. God does know. It said that he is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. One other point this morning, before we wrap up the lesson and give the invitation, we need to understand that God is our refuge, our strength, and a strong tower that we can run to. Look at all these images of strength and comfort that God gives us. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. I think this is the ESV. Think about that for a minute. What comes to your mind when we talk about or mention a strong tower? Well, two things come to my mind. Something strong and a big tower. And what's a tower? It's a place of refuge. And what he's saying there, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Where do you put your trust? Where do you get your strength? Where do you go for a place of refuge? The name of Almighty God. The righteous person runs to the Lord, just like a man in battle runs to a tower and escapes the heat of the battle. Run to the tower. The point is, run to Jesus. Run to God. Cling to Jesus. Go to him. It's your choice. No one's keeping you from doing that, except maybe Satan and all the lies he tells you. Oh, you can't do this. You can't bear up under this. The Lord's name, he's a righteous, he's a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. Look at Psalm chapter 46 and verse 1. It says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. What other promises could we possibly want? That God is there. He is our refuge. And sometimes I may seek the counsel of somebody else. Hey, I'm going through difficulties and sales are off a little bit. What do you think? You know, Kevin and I have some lunch and talk about that. He can sharpen my faith and I can do that for somebody else. But it says that God is our refuge. He is our strength and he is a very present help in our in time of trouble. So these are 10 truths, I believe, that we can focus on in our midst of difficulty and really in giving thanks for the powerful promises of God is one of the best things that each of us or any of us can do in seeking to overcome the difficulties that we face. Well, before we extend the invitation song, and I could have put this down as another point, but when we think about what God has done for us. If we're New Testament Christians, we've obeyed the gospel. We have this salvation from our sins. We've been washed in the blood of Christ, and we've been adopted as God's own children. We're God's children. We belong to Him. We've been loved by God, redeemed, purchased, cleansed, all of that. And the song that we sing, praise the Lord, I am His child. Wow, again, so many things to be thankful for. And one scripture to leave you with as we extend the invitation this morning. What is the promise that we've been given to us from God and from Jesus Christ for those who overcome? In Revelation chapter 21, and a picture of the glory of heaven, and it says, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So this verse relates a lot of the points that we've talked about this morning. So we need to recognize that God has prepared a place where there's no more pain forever. Our job is to trust Him, to serve Him, to love Him and obey Him. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. You can claim these promises if you'll obey the gospel of Jesus Christ through faith and repentance and baptism. If you've done that, you need the prayers of the congregation. We all from time to time reach out to one another to receive strength and assurance and comfort in times of difficulty. If you're here this morning and need to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come while we stand and sing this invitation song.